الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين الحمد لله All praises are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Our creator, our nourisher and our sustainer We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings For his favors, the bounties which he has given to us In last week's session We were discussing a very, very important topic That is connected to Allah's perfect knowledge. And the statement that has been recorded by Imam Tahawi alayhi rahma, it says that وَقَدْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيمَا لَمْ يَزَلْ عَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ وَعَدَدَ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew from eternity the amount of people that will enter into paradise and the amount of people that will enter into Jahannam. Jumlatan wahida, instantly, one time. فَلَا يَزْدَادُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْعَدَدِ That number will not increase وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْهُ Nor shall that number decrease. Whatever number has been fixed already as to the amount of people in Allah's knowledge that will enter and gain entry into Jannah in paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew the total amount. And the amount of people that will enter into the fire of hell, Allah also knew that amount. That is in Allah's ilm and Allah's knowledge. And it goes further to say, وَكَذَلِكَ And similarly, أَفْعَالَهُمْ فِيمَا عَلِمَ مِنْهُمْ أَنْ يَفْعَلُوا Similarly, the actions that man will do, all those actions from eternity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also knew about those actions. Then it goes further to explain that a person, the actions are made easy for him with respect to the direction his destiny lies. If a person will be fortunate by Allah to gain entry into paradise, then that sa'adat and that good fortune, it is in accordance to the decree of Allah. And also a person who is wretched, a person who becomes unfortunate, also that Becoming unfortunate is also according to the what? Decree of Allah. Every single thing is within the decree of Allah. Having said that, a person cannot say that it shows and it means when we say and we speak about believing in the qadr of Allah, believing in the decree of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already fixed those who are going to enter into the fire of hell and regardless of what they do, they will go in that direction. A person cannot say that. Nor should a person think and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already fixed those people who are to go to Jannat and paradise and regardless of what that person does, he will still go there. It does not happen like that. A person, wherever he is going to go after he passes away, in paradise or in hell, it is based upon the actions that the man will choose which will take him there. But because of the fact that Allah's knowledge is so perfect, Allah already knew from even before man was created, Allah already knew what this man will do And where will these actions take him? And that Allah has written already. Because man has been given a limited free will. Not total free will, not absolute free will. A man is not a totally free being. There are many things that are not under our control. We cannot decide the time of our birth. We cannot decide the time of our death. We have no control of our souls when we go to sleep. We have no control over sicknesses. We have no control of good fortune and bad fortune. We have no control of prosperity and adversity. We have no control. A man can work for his entire life, but still he can be struck with poverty. And a man doesn't have to work very, very hard, and he can be given a great amount of wealth. He can be given prosperity. The other one can be given adversity. A man trying hard and working his entire life, he can always be in a state of suffering. So therefore, there are certain things that are decreed by Allah. Man has no interference in this. But within a limited scope, man is given a free will. Not a total free being, and at the same time, not such a being that he has absolutely no free will, that he's forced. He's neither forced, nor he has total freedom. He's between the both. That in certain states, in certain circumstances, and in certain things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decree it prevails. Whatever Allah's judgment is, these things will come to pass. Whatever time is written for a man to come on the face of the earth, that man will appear. Whatever time it is destined for him to leave the face of the earth, he's gonna go. Even if a person is taking all the precautionary measures so as not to become sick, he can become sick. Suffering from an incurable disease, it can happen. No one has any choice of where he should be born, in which land he is gonna be born, in which family he's gonna be born, in which tribe he will be born. No one has any control over that. These things are destined by Allah in accordance to the hikmat and the wisdom of Allah. But choosing a path of hidayat and dalalat, choosing whether to be obedient to Allah or not to be obedient to Allah, Allah has given man a will, a free will in this area. In this area, Allah has never forced anyone to be a believer. Allah has sent his scriptures and Allah has sent thousands of prophets to teach man what is the right path. Man has been given that ability. Man has been given the, let's say, the tools which he can use to arrive at what is right and what is wrong. So therefore, based on this choice which Allah has given to a person, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Holy Quran, in Surah Ad-Dahr, where Allah says, "Inna hadainahu sabila," we have shown man the right path. Through our scriptures, through our signs, through the miracles, through the sending of prophets one after the other, through teachers and propagators of the religion of Allah, always guiding man to do that which is right and showing man that which is wrong, Allah says, we have shown man the right path already. Imma shakiran wa imma kafura. He can either choose to become grateful and be obedient to Allah, he can choose to become ungrateful and disobedient to Allah. So if a man chooses the right path, because he has made the choice to walk on the right path, to do those things which are good, Allah has promised him rewards and blessings for that. Allah has promised him good in this life and good in the hereafter. So he will be blessed. And if a man has chosen to walk the path of misguidance, to allow himself to go off on that track, and he has chosen to disobey Allah, he has chosen rather than earning a halal livelihood to steal, to rob, to cheat, well, the consequences of his actions shall befall him. If he has chosen to kill, if he has chosen to commit sins, If he has chosen to disobey Allah, while knowing at the same time that he can obey Allah, but knowing that he has chosen not to obey Allah, then he does it to his own detriment. In other words, he cannot say that Allah has written for me to be disobedient, so I am disobedient. No. Allah has created disobedience. The act of disobedience exists because it is under the general will of Allah, because everything in this universe occurs through Allah's will. As I said in the beginning, Satan is alive until today because it is Allah's will that Satan is alive. And Satan can try his best to incite and misguide others because Allah has given him that permission and Allah has willed that. So he can do that. Murder is committed on the face of the earth because Allah has willed for it. Allah has given the open condition and the general permission for it, but Allah does not love that. So Allah has created every single thing because a thing can only exist by Allah's permission. Without Allah's permission, it can never exist. But Allah never ordered a servant to take that part. وَلَا يَرْضَى بِعَبْدِهِ الْكُفْرُ بِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرُ Allah is never pleased, and Allah does not love for his servants to choose kufr, to choose shirk, to be disobedience. So this is why he has mentioned in the Holy Quran that if you choose this path, you are going to be punished. And if you choose the correct path, you will be blessed. So therefore, man is given that limited free choice to either do good or to do bad. To come to perform his salat 5 times a day or to neglect it 5 times a day. To either observe the commandments of Allah or not to observe the commandments of Allah. People are given that choice, and people practice upon the choice they have been given. So therefore, if a man chooses not to be obedient to Allah, he has earned the displeasure of Allah because Allah has commanded him to obey him. So if he has chosen disobedience, then he has gone against the commandment of Allah. If he has chosen kufr, and if he has chosen shirk, then he has chosen it, knowing that these things will take you to the fire of hell. As such, he will have to pay the penalties, and he shall have to suffer the consequences for whatever choice he has made. It therefore cannot be said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for a man to commit shirk and to disobey, so the man lives his life like that, and he appears on the day of judgment saying to Allah, "Oh Allah, but you had written that I will become an unbeliever, so why are you punishing me?" If man was forced to do and to make a choice which he's making, if a man was forced by Allah to do that, then there is no hikmat and wisdom in punishment. Why? Because then a man will only be doing what he's forced to do, but Allah has not forced a man to do that. Whatever choice a man will make, Allah has that knowledge. And where will those choices take man? Allah also has that knowledge. His knowledge is complete. And based upon his complete knowledge, he has written it. And that is the qadr of a person. So a person lives within the qadr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written, which is based upon the actions of man. So this is why it is stated that the amount that will go to Jannat, that amount is known to Allah and it is written by Allah. And that amount will never increase, nor shall it decrease, because Allah's knowledge is so perfect. There is no error and there is no mistake in that ilm and that knowledge. Imam Tahawi goes further to explain a little bit about Qadr, because this is what he has been discussing. What is Qadr? We always hear that we have to believe in the decree, the qadr of Allah, which is sometimes translated with the word fate, F-A-T-E, or predestination. What is this about? He begins by mentioning about it by saying, وَأَصْلُ الْقَدْرِ سِرٌ سِرُّ اللَّهِ فِي خَلْقِهِ, that the asal and the real masla and the origin and qadr and decree itself, it is a secret and it is a mystery of Allah which exists among the servants. The qadr of Allah, the decree of Allah, that predestination, it is a sir, it is a secret, it is a mystery, it is something that is not known, which is amongst the makhluk. Why is it called a sir? Sir means a secret. Why is it called a mystery? Because of the fact, it is not a mystery to Allah, it is not a secret to Allah, it is a secret to the servants. The reason it is called by this name sir, as Ali radiallahu ta'ala himself said, he said, Qadrullahi sirrun fi khalqihi. The qadr and the decree of Allah, it is a secret of Allah amongst his servants. La nakshifuhu, we cannot open it. We cannot reveal it, we cannot disclose it. It is locked. He used to say that. The reason it is called a sir amongst the makhluk is this. But before going there, we try to understand what is qadr. The qadr of Allah, it is that which Allah has fixed to occur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed to exist. And He has established these things to come about. So therefore, whether there is goodness or there is evil, that is fixed by Allah. Whether there is raha, there is joy, happiness, good living, or there is musibah, difficulties and suffering. Whether there is iman or there is kufr, whether there is dalalat, there is hidayat, whether there is misguidance and guidance, whether there is maut or hayat, life or death, all these things have been fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what qadr is about. That every single thing that comes upon man is fixed by Allah. And when we are asked to believe in qadr, it is a word that we have been hearing from the time we were growing up. And we believe in the qadr of Allah, khayrihi wa sharrihi, min Allahi ta'ala. You know, good and bad, the decrees from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We always hear the word decree, the predestination, that which has been ordained for man. Well, we do believe in it, and it is the part of the aqidah of the Sunni Muslims, or the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, that there are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed, has established to exist, to come upon us, situations, state, every single thing. These things have been fixed already by Allah. And our belief in the qadr, it means al-imanu, it is to believe bi-anna kulla ma ya'ti ala nas, that every single thing that comes upon human beings, aw yaqa'u fil kaun, or every single thing that occurs in the universe of Allah, the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, earthquakes, volcanoes, tornadoes, death, hurricane, storm, new people coming on the face of the earth, people leaving the face of the earth, every single thing that occurs in the universe, aw or sayaqa'u fil akhirati, or that will come to pass in the hereafter, kullahu, all these things, they are bi taqdeerillah, according to the decree of Allah, wa ilmihi, in accordance to His knowledge, wa iradatihi, and in accordance to His will and His intention, wa ta'yinihi, and in accordance to His fixation, yani how He has fixed it. And our aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat is that nothing can escape that. Every single thing, it goes in the manner that it has been written. We believe that a person can only die when the time has arrived according to the qadr of Allah for him to die. He cannot die before that, and he cannot die after that. Whatever has been written to come upon man, those things have been fixed already by Allah. So the first thing is to understand what is qadr. And the qadr is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fixed these things. Allah has established these things, every single thing, to exist. And iman in qadr means iman in that all these things occur with Allah's decree. These are two very important things we need to know. What is qadr and what is meant by iman in qadr? So when we are asked, or we always say, well, we have to believe in the Qadr. What do we believe in the Qadr about? Do we believe in the Qadr, but if a person passes away, we say, well, why did he die now? Why was his life taken now? The person was young. Had he used tablets, he would have been saved. If he had gone to the doctor, he would have been saved. So it cannot happen that in one tongue we are saying that we believe in the Qadr, but at the same time we are questioning Qadr. That's not permissible. So this is why it is very important to know what it means to believe in the Qadr. And when Imam Tahawi discussed that, he said, it is sirrullahi fi khalqihi. It is a secret and a mystery of Allah. Secret meaning, it is not known to any of the beings except Allah. He alone knows about it. And the reason it is called a sir among the makhluk, because who will die next, it is fixed by Allah, but no one knows who will die next. Who will get sick tomorrow, it is known by Allah, but no one on the face of the earth knows who will become sick. When this child will be born, which is still in the womb of its mother, no one but Allah knows, but the child is going to be born. It is known, but only to Allah, hidden from the knowledge of man. When will rain come? The weather is there, the clouds are moving about, but at what point in time the rain will begin to fall? It is known by man that it will fall, but when? Allah alone has that knowledge. So here, this an example of how it is called sirrullahi fi khalqihi. That it is there among the people, but they do not know when it is going to happen. We are to die. When we will die, we do not know. So it is something which is known only to Allah. And it is such a knowledge. It is such a knowledge that Allah has kept for only Himself. This is why, while describing that, Imam Tahawi says, it is a secret and a mystery of Allah that exists in the universe among the makhluk and the creation. لَمْ يَطَّلِعْ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلٌ. Not even a high-ranking angel has been given the knowledge of it, nor a close messenger, a messenger who has been sent by Allah, the most beloved messenger, nor have they been given any knowledge about it. Subhanallah. No one, no angel has knowledge of the Qadr of Allah. And no prophet has been given the knowledge of the Qadr of Allah. What is Allah's decree? This is why it is recorded by Imam Bukhari. The tradition, when someone, a young child, passed away, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used the remark to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usfurum min asafir al-jannah. This is a bird from the birds of paradise. In other words, this child will go straight to paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became angry. He said, how can you say something like that? He says, I am the Prophet of Allah, and I do not even know about my own self. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not been given the knowledge of the Qadr of Allah, of what will take place, what will happen in the hereafter. The things that will exist, Allah has revealed to him about the occurrences of the Day of Judgment. But when that time comes as to who is going to go here and who is going to go there, that is Allah's ilm. Even on another occasion, Imam Bukhari has recorded in the chapter of Janazah, under the chapter of you should not consider anyone pure and pious. One Sahabi passed away. And the woman in whose house he was staying, that's after the brotherhood between the Meccans and the people of Medina, they were made, the Muhajir and the Ansar. That Sahabi passed away. And that person was swearing by Allah that really he's a person that Allah had purified, he's a pure being. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told, how do you know that? No one knows that. I do not even know that about myself. And if we are given paradise, it's only through the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the qadr of Allah, what will happen to a person, what will befall a person, what will come to a person in this world and the hereafter, and the occurrences and the incident that will come upon, لَمْ يَطَّلِعْ عَلَى ذَٰلِكَ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌ مُرْسَلٌ. Not even the closest high-ranking angel or even the most beloved Nabi has been given, a Nabi who has been sent. So when even great prophets and angels were not given such a knowledge by Allah, Imam Tahawi says, وَالتَّعَمُّكُ وَالنَّظْرُ فِي ذَلِكَ. Therefore, deep indulgence and contemplation into this aspect of Qadr. Of Qadr. It is dhari'atul khazlan. It is a means and a media of one failing and him suffering on the face of the earth. Zari'atul khazlan. If anyone goes about indulging in matters of Qadr, that a person is searching for what is going to happen next, and searching as to why it happened in this way, and why it could not happen, and he begins to interfere with the aspect of the Qadr of Allah, the first thing Imam Tahawi says that will happen is that he will begin to suffer. He will become a failure. وَسُلَّمُ الْحِرْمَانِ. And he will suffer deprivation and loss. In other words, he will be deprived of Allah's mercy. He will be deprived of Allah's love and Allah's compassion. He will be deprived of this. He will be at a loss. وَدَرْجَةُ الطُّغْيَانِ. And by him going into areas which are prohibited, he will be transgressing the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, he is prohibited by Allah from going into that. You can't go into that. You can't dwell into those matters. So it will bring him to a state of transgression. This is why when we know that anyone who indulges in these matters and he begins to contemplate on the things that are decreed and preordained by Allah, which falls into the subject called Qadr, that he's going to suffer a failure, he's going to suffer deprivation and loss, and also he's going to be a transgressor. فَلَحَذْرُ كُلَّ الْحَذْرِ. So Imam Tahawi says, you should beware. You should beware from indulging in these things with all the caution you can take. كُلَّ الْحَذْرِ. With all the caution you can take, beware from falling into it. Three ways he have described that people normally will fall into it. And sometimes a person may not, he may not pick it in himself that he's actually crossing prohibited barriers and boundaries. So he says in three ways you have to take caution. Nadran, you should never do contemplation in the matters of Qadr. There is no reason of contemplating upon it, because you cannot reach the knowledge. You cannot reach to the wisdom as to why things occur. You cannot. So nadran, be cautious about contemplating about it. وَفِكْرًا. Be cautious about speculation and thinking about it. وَوَسْوَسَةً. And be cautious that waswasa do not enter your minds. Yani evil inspiration that may come to your mind. In these three different ways, a believer must avoid himself from indulging, from thinking, from speculating, from reflecting upon the aspect of Qadr and the decree of Allah, and also allowing waswasa to come in. So we are not, as Muslims, we are not to begin contemplating upon the Qadr of Allah. We cannot go to the extent of begin to think using, you know, speculations about it, reflecting about it. And the other thing he says, waswasa. And that is something that often comes to the mind of a person, waswasa. Waswasa, doubts that will come in the mind of a person, which is called satanic whispers or evil whispers. You do not want to think about something, but it comes to your mind and you entertain it in your heart. And you begin to ask questions. And you begin to try to justify as to why things may have happened in a certain way. We cannot do that. Imam Muslim has recorded the tradition from Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, where Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala said, جَاءَ نَاسٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Some companions of the Prophet of Allah came to the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. وَقَالُوا, and they said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّا نَجِدُ فِي أَنفُسِنَا مَا يَتَعَظَمُ أَحَدُنَا أَن يَتَكَلَّمَ بِهِ. Sometimes we find thoughts coming into ourselves that we find it very grave and serious to even speak about it. Yani certain things, it comes to our mind and our heart that it is so grave, it is so serious They are so offensive that we cannot even speak about it on our tongues. قال, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَقَدْ وَجَدْتُمُهُ. Do you really find it like that? Do you think about it like in this manner that you cannot speak about it and you fear to speak about it? قَالُوا نَعْمُ. They said yes. He said, فَذَلِكَ صَرِيحُ الْإِيمَانِ. Then if you think like this about those things that are coming in your heart, then you have clear iman. That is iman. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about when things of such a nature comes to your mind that you begin to think that if I speak about it, it will be bad, and because of the thoughts, you leave it out, then it means you have iman. It is the iman within you that is making you think that these things are grief. If you did not have strong iman, then you will speak about it without even reflecting on the consequences of what you are saying. In another riwayat, in about the same incident, Imam Muslim has recorded the words of Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala, when he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about waswasa, that sometimes the satanic inspiration and the evil whispers enter our hearts and our mind, and we think that it is so offensive to speak about it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ذَلِكَ مَحْضُ الْإِيمَانِ. Then that is clear-cut iman, as we say in our language. That is iman and iman itself. So therefore, what Imam Tahawi has mentioned is something that is expressed clearly in the ahadith, in the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that sometimes as believers, as Muslims, doubts do enter our minds as to why did this happen, as to why did that happen. If I did it in this way, probably it would have been in this way. If I did it in this way, probably that would have been the result. And we continue speculating, making assumptions on the word if, yani in walaw, if and but. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam clearly told us, the commentators have mentioned, the compilers of ahadith have recorded it, that do not use the word if and but. If this was so, that was the case, because these words are from shaitan and they are meant to lead you to go against the qadr and the decree of Allah. It leads to you to what? Reject and to deny the qadr of Allah. Because every single thing is planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the decree of the things that will come over us. So he says, فَالْحَذْرُ كُلَّ الْحَذْرِ. You should take extra caution of dealing and indulging in matters of this nature. And he goes further to say, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى تَوَى عِلْمَ الْقَدْرِ عَنْ عَنَامِهِ. He says, certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the knowledge of qadr away from his makhluk. The knowledge of qadr, the predestination, the knowledge that is connected to what is ordained by Allah and what is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has kept this knowledge away from his makhluk, away from his creation. They don't know about it. وَنَهَاهُمْ عَمْ مَرَامِهِ. And he has prohibited them from trying to encompass it. He has prohibited them from going behind it. He has prohibited them from going to find out about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited human beings, and he has prohibited the makhluk from it. Kama qala ta'ala, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran, la yus'alu amma yaf'alu wa hum yus'alun. Allah shall never be questioned about what he does. Allah shall never be questioned about what he does, but the human beings shall be questioned about what they do. In other words, nothing that Allah does, he shall be questioned about. Why did Allah send rain today? No one can question Allah. Why did Allah withhold the rain because of which people had to suffer thirst? No one can question Allah. Why did Allah send a tsunami to destroy so many people? No one can question. Why did Allah send an earthquake that killed so many thousands of people? No one has the authority to question Allah. La yus'alu amma yaf'alu. No one can question Allah about what he, Allah, does. However, whatever human beings do, they shall be questioned about it. So this ayat makes it very clear. As Imam Tahawi himself says, فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِمَا فَعَلَ. Whosoever thereafter ask, And whosoever asks the question about Allah as to why Allah did this, فَقَدْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ, then he has gone against the law and the judgment of the book of Allah. وَمَنْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ, and whosoever has gone against the judgment of the book of Allah, كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, he is from among the unbelievers. He is from among the unbelievers. So a very important point we need to understand. That remember, Imam Tahawi also told us about refraining from indulging in it with respect to waswas also. Let not evil whispers enter our hearts and our mind to question Allah. And many times it occurs to us. Even you will hear Muslims speaking about it. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did Allah do that? This child is only 2 years of age. The child is innocent. Why did Allah take that child? This child is only 1 day old. What wrong did the child do? Why did Allah take that child? This child didn't do anything wrong. The child is born deaf. Why? Na'uzu billah. That child is born blind. What is the offense of the child that the child is born blind? Why is this child crippled? Why does this child have to walk and to move about in this manner? And all the questions are coming up. Lima fa'ala, lima fa'ala. Why did Allah do this? Why did Allah do this? He says, no, be careful of what you are saying. That's not a believer. That is not a Muslim. فَمَنْ سَعَلَ لِمَا فَعَلَ, whosoever questions Allah about what he did, then by doing so, he is rejecting the judgment of Allah's book. And whosoever rejects the judgment and goes against the judgment of Allah, كَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ, he is an unbeliever. We should know, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, on the basis of the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Holy Quran and the blessed traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the foundation of ubudiyat and the foundation of being a servant of Allah and the foundation of being a slave of Allah and the foundation of us believing in Allah, in His prophets and in His books, it lies totally in total submission and surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and upon nothing else. Total surrendering and total submission towards Allah without asking questions about the actions of Allah. This is where Islam really rests upon. The root of our Islam and Iman, and the root of us saying that we believe in Allah, the foundation of us saying that we believe in a prophet of Allah, or we believe in the Holy Quran sent by Allah, is that we shall never question Allah in what He does. Because if we question, then what is the meaning of surrendering? If we question, what is the meaning of submitting to the will of Allah? It has never been like that. In fact, anyone who questioned a prophet of Allah in the past to this extent as to asking the wisdom, why did Allah impose upon us 5 daily salat? Why did Allah make us ordain for us that we have to fast the month of Ramadan? Why do we have to give zakat? Why should a person go for Hajj? If there was anyone asking such question, he was deemed as an unbeliever by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has never been in the history of every prophet among those who considered themselves to be believers to ever ask the wisdom and the reasons behind the awamir and the nawahi of Allah, the things which Allah has commanded us to do and those things which Allah has prohibited us. Never. And it is not fitting for a believer to ask questions like that. So this is why he says, فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِمَا فَعَلَ, whosoever asks us, oh Allah, why did you do this? Then he is going against the judgment of the book of Allah, and that takes him to the brinks of kufr, and he will be deemed as an unbeliever. That's a very, very important thing we need to understand about Qadr. It's why he says further now. He summarizes this topic. He says, فَهَذَا جُمْلَةُ مَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ هُوَ مُنَوَّرُ قَلْبَهُ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. This is the sum, is a summary. It is the gist that is needed towards for those people whose hearts are enlightened from among the pious servants of Allah, the awliya of Allah. those people who are pious worshippers, those people who are sincere believers, those people who truly believe in Allah, they obey Allah, they are from the awliya of Allah, those that Allah will constantly protect. Then for those people who are true believers and righteous servants, then Imam Tahawi is saying what we have mentioned before, this is sufficient for them. This is sufficient. It's true. A true believer will not go behind the ifs and the buts and the whys. A true believer will never do that. A true believer is who accepts the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had lost all his boy children, and he did not complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest man who ever walked on the face of the earth. He was the most beloved Rasul to Allah. Thorns were thrown on his path. Dust and stone were thrown on his face, and he never questioned Allah. Oh Allah, why is this happening to me? They surrounded his house to kill him. They did so many things to him. Some poisoned him. Some did so many wrong things, to even spit on his face. And never for once he questioned Allah and said, oh Allah, why are all these things happening to me? Why? Because there was total submission to Allah. There was total surrendering to Allah. And he entrusted all the affairs in the hands of Allah. And he never questioned why. So as for a true believer, to submit to Allah, not to ask questions, that is sufficient for a true believer. وَهِيَ دَرْجَةُ الرَّاسِقِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Imam Tahawi says. And this is the degree of those people who are made firm in knowledge, bestowed with firm knowledge, and endowed with a great amount of knowledge. This is their level. In other words, how would you recognize one who is bestowed with firm knowledge? How will you recognize those people who are deeply rooted in knowledge, who are really great in the sight of Allah with their knowledge? How would you recognize those people? You will recognize them by those who often entrust all matters to Allah and say, it is from Allah, we believe it is from Allah, and everything rests upon Allah. This is a sign of those people. The great scholar is not that one who is always asking questions, why this is so and why that is so, and why this had to happen like that, and why that happened to like that, and to try to give any type of worldly explanation connected to Allah's Qadr. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam never did it. The Muslims were facing difficult times. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam agreed for all the conditions made by those people of Makkah in the truce of Hudaybiyah. And when he was told that, why was he doing that? When the Muslims in that case, they were on the receiving end and they will suffer, he said, "Bas, let it happen. Allah's Qadr is there, Allah knows best." And everything came in favor of the Muslims, subhanAllah. And everything happened like that. He relied, he entrusted all the affairs in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions in the Holy Quran about those people who often go behind those verses, seeking the different meanings of the verses. Those people are those people, Allah says in the Quran, who have a crookedness in their hearts. And those people who are really firm in knowledge, and they are deep rooted and firmly established in knowledge, they are the ones who will continuously entrust everything in the hands of Allah, entrusting everything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why Imam Tahawi says, وَهِيَ دَرْجَةُ الرَّاسِقِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. And to reach this level, to entrust everything in the hands of Allah without indulging, contemplating, and using one's thought and reflection in the Qadr of Allah, but submitting to Allah's will, that is a sign of a person who is deeply rooted and firm and well established in knowledge. He says, فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ عِلْمَانِ. For certainly knowledge, there are two types of knowledge. فَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ عِلْمَانِ. There are two types of knowledge. عِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَوْجُودٌ. He says knowledge which is amongst the creation, but it is accessible. People can get it. You can go for it. You can get it. وَعِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَفْقُودٌ. And knowledge which is among the people, but it is not accessible by people. You can't get it. You can't get it. He says there are two types of knowledge. What is explained by ilmul mawjood? The knowledge of the sharia, the knowledge of the deen of Allah, the knowledge of what Allah wants us to do, the knowledge of the prohibitions of Allah. That knowledge is amongst the makhluq, that knowledge is amongst the creation, and it is accessible. We can find out and we can know what are the orders of Allah and what are the commands of Allah. It's there. Allah has revealed it. We can find out what are those things which Allah has prohibited us from. What we cannot do here, what we cannot do there, we can find out about all those things. What are those faraiz? What are those nawafil? At the same time, what are those haram things? That knowledge amounts the makhluk, it is accessible and people can get it. And there is another type of knowledge which is not given to anyone, but it exists. But Allah knows it. That knowledge is the knowledge of the unseen, the knowledge of the future things, the knowledge of qadr, which no one of Allah's makhluk and creation has anything about, has absolutely no knowledge about. Nothing. So that knowledge is here, but it is mafqood, it is not accessible. So he goes to describe what should be our, let's say, our action and our behavior and conduct with respect to the two types of knowledge. Because if we do not know what should be our conduct, then people may go behind knowledge which is not accessible, trying to find out about the secrets and the mysteries of the occurrences of things. Who will die next? What will happen next? What to do? Based upon future knowledge. He says, no, that is ilmul mafqood, knowledge which is absent. So he says, for inkaru ilmul mawjoodi kufrun. He says, for anyone to reject that knowledge which is accessible and that knowledge which exists among people, if anyone rejects that knowledge, then that is kufr, and then this is disbelief. In other words, what we are saying, my dear respected brothers and sisters, is that Imam Tahawi is saying, if anyone says, no one has the knowledge of the religion of Allah, no one has knowledge of the Quran of Allah, we don't know what Allah wants us to do, we don't know what Allah has prohibited us from, if anyone claims that, then he is rejecting the knowledge which is accessible, and that is kufr. That is kufr. So فَإِنْكَارُ عِلْمِ الْمَوْجُودِ كُفْرٌ. Denial and rejection of that knowledge which Allah has made to exist in order to guide man and is accessible, anyone who denies that, that is kufr. But at the same time he says, وَإِدِّعَاءُ عِلْمِ الْمَفْقُودِ كُفْرٌ. And to claim to have knowledge of the unseen and to claim to have knowledge which is not accessible, that is kufr also. So a man comes about and says, I know exactly when rain will fall. I know when you will die. You are building a business, I know if that business will prosper or not. Don't take a travel to Hajj now. Don't undertake a journey to America now or any land because the plane will crash. I know what will happen. To claim that knowledge which is not made accessible is kufr. This is connected to ilm al-ghayb, knowledge of the unseen. The Holy Quran itself says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ. And with Allah is the keys of the unseen. لا يعلمها إلا هو. No one has that knowledge except Allah. No one besides Allah has that knowledge. What will happen tomorrow? What is going to happen in the future? And in one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Quran itself tells us, عالم الغيب. He alone is the knower of the unseen. The knowledge which is not accessible by the makhluk, Allah alone has that knowledge. Who will die next? And whatever will occur in the future, the knowledge of that which is kept hidden from man, Allah alone has that knowledge and no one. No one. So the Holy Quran says, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ. He is the knower of the unseen. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. He has not given that knowledge of the unseen to anyone. Subhanallah. No one can claim. But there are certain things that he has revealed to Anbiya's. But once it is revealed to a Nabi, it is called wahi and revelation. And that revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us what will happen in the grave. That is knowledge connected to the future, but it's given as wahi to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Knowledge that is connected to our deen is given to the Prophet, so that we will be encouraged to do good deeds, and we will be encouraged to refrain from sins. When we know what there lies in Jahannam, what is going to happen in the grave, what will happen if you do this and you do that. So this is why Allah makes an exemption in that ayah to tell us that no one should ever use whatever information has been given to a Nabi to now claim that a Nabi also is Alimul Ghaib, the know of the unseen, and he has knowledge of the unseen. No one should say that, because Allah says, when he says فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا, that Allah has not given the knowledge of the unseen to anyone, then Allah exempts one situation, إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ, except to a messenger who he is pleased with, except a messenger that he chooses, he may give the knowledge of anything that may happen to that messenger. But how does he give that knowledge to a messenger? Does the messenger automatically knows about it? No. Allah says, فَإِنَّهُ يَسْلُكُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ رَصَدًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses a Nabi to give any knowledge of that which will occur in the future, he is going to give him that on the basis of wahi and revelation, and then Allah sends angels to bring that information to the Nabi. And when an angel is sent and chosen to bring that information, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he sends also guardian angels, watching guards, rasada, in front of those angels bringing the wahi, and behind those angels. So the angel bringing the wahi on the face of the earth is surrounded by thousands of angels in front of him and behind him, so that the shayateen and the evil jinns and the devils can have no connection and interference with that which is coming from Allah to be given to a Nabi. Thousands of angels accompany the angel who is bringing that revelation. So therefore, that is the only case where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will choose a Nabi to give him some information that is connected to the deen. But no one has that knowledge besides Allah, which is called ilmul ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen. So this is why Imam Tahawi says, he says, wa iddi'a' ilmul ghaibi kufrun, to claim to have knowledge of the unseen, that is kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran says, inna Allaha 'indahu 'ilmul ghaib, certainly Allah with him is the knowledge of the unseen. Inna Allaha 'indahu 'ilmus sa'ah, certainly with Allah is the knowledge of the hour of judgment. When will the hour of judgment take place? No one knows except Allah. Wa yunazzilul ghayth, and Allah is the one who sends the rain. So since it is Allah alone who sends the rain, no one but Allah knows exactly when rain will fall. On which land will the rain fall? How much will it come down to the man, to people, to the creation? When will it fall, in the day or the night? In the beginning of the year or the end of the year? Whatever season, Allah alone has that knowledge, because Allah alone does that action of sending the rain. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and Allah alone has the knowledge of what is in the wombs. That child is a male or the child is a female, Allah alone has that knowledge, direct knowledge. إِلْمُ الْغَيْبِ. Whether the child is handicapped or not, whether the child is dark, whether the child is red, whether the child is blue or yellow, Allah alone has that knowledge. Allah alone has that knowledge. It's twin or not, Allah alone has that knowledge. The instruments that have been invented by men to find out what is in the womb is not called ilmul ghayb. Anytime you use one media to find out another thing, that is not called the knowledge of the unseen. If we have to challenge that, we'll say, can then therefore, putting all the instrument aside. A doctor looking at a woman and watching her womb, let him say what is there in the womb. Then he can say he has a claim of ilmul ghaib if he is able to identify accurately what is there. Just looking at that person saying that's a male, no one can do that. If you use instrument to measure, if you use instrument to find out what is there, that is not ilmul ghaib. Anyone who uses any type of media and instrument and cameras to determine whether it's a male or female in the womb, and then to tell the mother that you are having a male, and then to challenge Allah and say, we also have ilmul ghaib, and we have the knowledge of the unseen. It is identical to Nimrod when Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him, my Lord gives life and gives death. And he calls the prisoner who was decreed to be beheaded, and he says, go, I set you free, I have given life. And the innocent man who didn't do any wrong thing, he called him and said, behead him. And says, look, I'm giving death. It's no different from that person. Understanding ilmul ghaib is very important. Knowledge of the unseen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala naturally knows what is there in the womb. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And Allah knows what it is in the womb. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. And no soul knows what it is going to achieve tomorrow. Subhanallah. What you will do tomorrow, what will be your sustenance tomorrow, what you will eat tomorrow, no soul knows what you will achieve, what it will achieve tomorrow. No one knows. We don't even know that whether we're going to reach home safely or not tonight. Far less for tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And no soul knows on which land it will die. We live here for our entire lives, and just it takes a few moments for us to go away on a 3-day trip and we die on that land. We are buried on that land. We live for 100 years here and we undertake an umrah and we die in Makkah and we are buried in Makkah. We die in Medina and we are buried in Medina. No soul knows which land it, on which land it will it die. No soul knows that. Because Allah is Alim, Allah is Khabir, Allah is well informed, and Allah has perfect knowledge. So therefore, these matters, my dear respected brothers and my dear sisters, these are matters that are connected to Allah because He is Alim al-Ghayb, the knower of the unseen. So, Imam Tahawi says, whoever claims that he has the knowledge of the future and he has the knowledge of the unseen, then that is kufr. That is not permissible. You can't do that. So he says, what is our iman? And when will our iman be firm? He says, وَلَا يَثْبُتُ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَّا بِقُبُولِ عِلْمِ الْمَوْجُودِ. Iman will not be firm. And iman is not iman unless a person accepts the presence of ilmul mawjood, that the knowledge which Allah has given to human beings, it is there, it is accessible, and we can know what Allah requires us to do, and we can know what are the awamir of Allah, the commands of Allah, and the prohibitions of Allah. And iman is not sahih also, unsound. What is our iman? And when will our iman be firm? He says, وَلَا يَثْبُتُ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَّا بِقُبُولِ عِلْمِ الْمَوْجُودِ. Iman will not be firm. And iman is not iman unless a person accepts the presence of ilm al-mawjood, that the knowledge which Allah has given to human beings, it is there, it is accessible. And we can know what Allah requires us to do. And we can know what are the awamir of Allah, the commands of Allah, and the prohibitions of Allah. And iman is not sahih also, unsound, except bitarki talab ilm al-mafqood, by leaving off seeking the knowledge of the unseen. Knowledge of the unseen. You know, this is an area which it can really misguide a man. So he says, your iman can only be true iman and good iman when you are ready to leave off indulging and contemplating in matters of the future and matters which you have no knowledge about. That is only when your iman is sound. And if we are not like that, then our iman is not sound as yet. And it is a very dangerous path that people may undertake. People develop the tendency of always finding out from others as to what lies ahead for them. So you may go to a person and say, "Brother, I know you have a little bit of knowledge. I want to open a business down the road. Can you tell me if the knowledge will prosper or not?" The person say, "Come back tomorrow," and he takes a little fee charging you to tell you what is going to happen. What are we really doing there is we are seeking knowledge of the unseen. We are going behind knowledge of the future. What is Imam Tahawi saying? Your iman cannot be sound if you develop this habit. This person has fallen sick, and there is someone that you believe will know whether this person got to die out of that sickness or not. So you go day and night and you're calling. How is the person? Will the person become better? Will the person become better? What should I do? And then when they say, the person say, "If you have nothing to worry about, you feel, oh, alhamdulillah." We place our iman upon people who continue to fool us and deceive us, indulging and prying into matters of the unseen. No one has knowledge of that. No one. Whoever claims the ability to do that is a liar. Because Allah has not given that knowledge to anyone. Yes, if you have knowledge of what is going on now and you have knowledge of what occurred last year, that is gone already. That is there. That is history now. So people know about it. Other species know about it. People can tell you. That is not ilmul ghaib. That is not ilmul ghaib. Knowledge of the future. The knowledge of that will come upon a person. This is an area which we Muslims have to avoid, because until and unless we do not stay away from getting into that, then our knowledge, our iman will not be sahih and it will not be full. So two things are mentioned when he concludes that chapter of how we are to respond and how are we to conduct ourselves with respect to this that is called ilmul ghaib, the ilm that is mafqood and the knowledge that is not accessible to us. It is in a manner that we have to accept that which Allah has given to us, believe in it, practice upon it, and suffice ourselves with that knowledge. And that knowledge which Allah has given to, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given to anyone, we should never pry into it. We should never ever go to a person. So when we read the horoscope, what are we trying to do, my dear respected brothers and sisters? We are trying to find out how our whole day will be. How our entire day will be. So the first thing that sometimes people get themselves caught up in reading the horoscope, reading the stars, people who read the stars and they wish to tell us that there are things lying ahead of you, be careful how you live today. So we jump back and we become scared. And we are looking out every minute. You know, it's written that something will happen to me today. So have to be calm. We are putting our iman on people whom we believe that may give us knowledge of the future, knowledge of the unseen. It cannot happen. The Holy Quran tells us it's nothing but conjecture. It's conjecture, it's zunun. It's haram to do that. Going by soothsayers, fortune tellers, it's haram to do that. Going by people who can claim to tell us about the future events and the future thing. These things are all haram, because they mess and they connect with and they deal with our belief in the Qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Alim al-Ghaybi. He's the knower of the unseen and the only one. So, he says that iman will only be firm when we accept the knowledge which Allah has given to us and made accessible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the knowledge hidden from us. We do not pry into those areas. When we stay away from that, then our iman will be sound and full. And Imam Tahawi goes further to speak about another thing. Lawh. We hear about Lawh al-Mahfuz. What is the Lawh? We hear about the pen. What the pen is about. He says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمْ وَبِجَمِيعِ مَا فِيهِ رَقَمْ. He says, we believe in the lawh, the sacred tablet. And we believe in the pen. And we believe in every single thing that is written in the sacred tablet. Lawh, lawhun in Arabic. It means a slate. It is called a blackboard. Anything upon which something, a pen can write on. Anything upon which writing can be done is called lawh in Arabic. Lawh. So the blackboard is called a lawh. A slate is called a piece of stone that you may write on is called a lawh, also in Arabic. And what he refers to is the lawh, the sacred tablet which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And that sacred tablet upon which is inscribed the qadr of every single thing. The decree of the whole makhluk, it is written on the lawh al-mahfuz, the sacred tablets. The maqadir of the khalq, what is going to happen, what has happened already in the past, what will happen on the day of judgment, every single thing has been inscribed on this which is called the lawh, the sacred tablet. How big it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What is the nature of the lawh al-mahfuz? Allah knows best. There is a tradition which is recorded by Imam Tibrani in the Mu'jam, where he says the size is between the east to the west. Big lawh. But how can we picture and imagine these things that are connected to the hereafter? We'll deal with the kursi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His chair and the kursi encompasses is larger than the heavens and the earth. How can we ever think about this? It's knowledge of these things we entrust to Allah. Allah knows best. So the lawh, all we need to know is the sacred tablet, is that slate, and that upon which the maqadir and the decree of every single thing has been written. And it is placed and it rests upon the arsh, as is recorded in many different traditions. The hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala says. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ كِتَابًا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ الْخَلْقِ. Allah wrote something. He wrote a book before he created his makhluk and his creation. What did Allah write? إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي سَبَقَتْ غَضَبِي فَهُوَ مَكْتُوبٌ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ. He says that Allah wrote that certainly mine rahmah and mine mercy overcomes mine anger. It is more than my anger. Mine mercy overcomes and it is more than my anger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this which Allah had written, it is upon the arsh. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, while commenting on this tradition, he says, from this it is known that this is written on the lawh, on the sacred tablet, and the sacred tablet is upon the arsh. It is upon the arsh. So what is very important for us, what is important for us to know and believe in the lawh, the sacred tablet which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and the pen which Allah has created, it has written the decree of every single thing. And this pen is the pen which Allah created in the very beginning, in the early portion of the creation. Imam Abu Dawud has recorded the tradition. Imam Abu Dawud has recorded it from Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah created the pen, and then Allah said to the pen, Uktub, write. Faqala, the pen said, Mada aktubu, what can I write? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uktub maqadir al-khalqi hatta taqum as-sa'a. Write the maqadir and the decree and the predestination of the entire makhluk until the day of judgment. Write it. And the pen wrote. In another riwayat, it is stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the pen, Uktub ma kana wa ma kainun. Write what had occurred already and what is going to occur. This column, the pen which Allah has created, the pen which has written the decree of man and the decree of the makhluk we believe in. Allah says in Surah Qalam, Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. By noon, Allah alone knows what is the meaning and the message of noon. Allah says, and by the pen, and what they, the angels, write with the pen. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Allah swears by that pen. So we believe in the lawh, the sacred tablet. Allah says, bal huwa qur'anun majid fi lawhim mahfuz. Nay, it is the respectable and the honored Quran. Where is this Quran? Fi lawhim mahfuz. In the lawhim mahfuz, in the sacred preserved tablets, the same lawh. So we believe that there. We believe. And every single thing that is there in the lawh, it comes to pass. It is written there, the maqadir, the decree, the destination, the destiny of every single one of Allah's makhluk. It is there, and it goes in accordance to that. So this is why Imam Tahawi goes further to explain the nature of the things that are written there, because he says we believe in the lawh, the sacred tablet, we believe in the qalam, the pen that has written it, but we also believe we wa bi jami'i ma fihi raqam. Every single thing that has been written there, we believe in all of those things. Every single thing we believe in. So therefore, when we believe in that, it means nothing can exist on the face of the earth which opposes that which is written in the lawh. It cannot happen like that. Only those things that will occur which is written there. And from among those things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has written, based on his perfect knowledge of man, what man will do and where he will go to, so man's life will be in accordance to that. The man will make the choice and he will be going in a direction. So therefore, he touches a very important thing which explains the concept of believing in what is inscribed in Lawhul Mahfuz, in the preserved and protected tablets. He says, فَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ أَنَّهُ كَائِنٌ لِيَجْعَلُوهُ غَيْرَ كَائِنٍ لَمْ يَقَدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ. If the whole makhluk were to come together upon anything, man and jinn and every single makhluk, the billions and the trillions, if all the makhluk, they were to come together upon something, and about that thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written it on Lawhul Mahfuz that it will exist, and the makhluk, they are coming together to make it not exist. Understand what he said? Allah has written something on Lawhul Mahfuz that it will exist, that a man will die, the healthiest of all men will die, the man in his it is in his youth, the man has worked very hard and he's the best, he has no problems, no sickness whatsoever, and it is written that he will die, and the whole makhluk comes together to cause it not to happen. Lam yaqdiru alayhi. They, the makhluk, have no ability upon changing that decree of Allah. They have no ability to do that. They cannot stop Allah's decree. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا كُلُّهُمْ. And if all the makhluk, they were to come together again, whoever they might be, whatever they might be in, whatever numbers they might be in, they were to come together, عَلَى شَيْنَ upon a thing, لَمْ يَكْتُبْهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, that Allah has not written in it or about it. لِيَجْعَلُوهُ كَائِنًا. And they are coming together to make it happen. They are coming together to make it happen. Then, لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ. They cannot do that. They cannot do that. Why? جَفَّ الْقَلَمُ. جَفَّ الْقَلَمُ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The pen has gone dry with that which is written until the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The pen has gone dry. Writing has finished. What is fixed is fixed. Who will die at what age? No man will save him. That is fixed. Which child will be born at which point in time? That has been fixed. A person cannot have a child. The entire makhluk comes together to cause and to bring about the delivery of a child or the birth of a child. Allah says, no, no, it cannot happen. جَفَّ الْقَلَمُ بِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The pen has gone dry with that which will occur until the day of judgment. The decree of Allah supersedes. The decree of Allah is what rules. This is why the Holy Quran tells us about that. Nothing can go against Allah's decree and whatever Allah has willed. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. Whenever Allah decides to grant His rahmah and His mercy to anyone, no one on the face of the earth can withhold that and stop that. If the whole world, they envy you, and they were to gather together to stop some good that is coming to you, they will never be able to stop that good which will come to you. They will never be able to do that. And then, in the same ayah it goes, وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ. And whenever Allah withholds, when Allah does not want to send His mercy to anyone, no one can send it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make dua. He used to make dua to Allah. Recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. Allahumma, O Allah, la mani'a lima a'tayta. There is no stopper of what you give. If you've given something, no one can stop that from coming. وَلَا مُعْتِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ. And there is no giver to that which you withhold. You're not going to give something, no man can bring it. No one can get it to come. So beautiful is the tradition recorded by Imam Tirmizi from Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, where Abdullah bin Abbas was riding on the same mount with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam behind him. Recorded, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam placed his hand on the shoulder of Abdullah bin Abbas. He was a very young child. And he says, Ya Ghulam, he says, oh young boy, listen well. احفظ الله يحفظك. Be mindful of Allah, Allah will be mindful of you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Allah right in front of you. Yani, He's always there to help you. He's always there to help you with anything you need, Allah. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. And whenever you ask of anything, ask from Allah alone. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ. And whenever you seek help and assistance, seek it only from Allah. وَعَلَمَ. Know very well. لَوِجْتَمَعَتِ الْأُمَّةِ. Know very well that if the whole ummah and the whole nation were to come together, عَلَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. If they were to come together to cause some benefit to you, if they were to come together to cause some benefit to you, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They will not be able to give any benefit to you except in that which Allah has written for you. Subhanallah. Only that which Allah has written for you, they can give you benefit in nothing else. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا. And if they were to gather together, عَلَىٰ أَن يَضُرُّوكَ. If they were to gather together to cause some harm to you, لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. They will not be able to cause harm to you in anything except that which Allah has written to come upon you. Subhanallah. It's a very important part of our aqidah. So sometimes we live in fear. We live being scared. But if we believe that only that which Allah has written will come to pass, then this idea and this thought will make us brave. Subhanallah. Because if at the end of the day only what Allah has written will come to pass, can we avoid it? We can't avoid it. So no matter what we do, we run very high, we go very deep, we run away from our homes and we go in the sea, we leave our country and we go and we just abscond, know very well what is going to hit you, going to hit you. We can't miss it. It's not going to pass us. Then he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in that tradition, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ. The pens have been lifted, writing is finished. وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. And the papers have run dry. Subhanallah. No more writing. What is there is there already. So that's a very, very important point of our aqidah, which Imam Tahawi has stressed upon. This is why the other point is connected to the very same thing that he's mentioning. He says, وَمَا أَخْطَعَ الْعَبْدَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. So therefore, we have to know, he said, whatever missed the servant, it was not going to touch him. Subhanallah. Ah, very important. Whatever missed the servant, it was not going to touch him. وَمَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِعَهُ. And whatever struck him, it was not going to miss him. Subhanallah. We got sick because we had to get sick. Subhanallah. There is no way it could have escaped. There is no way. A man is suffering. وَمَا أَصَابَهُ, whatever touch you, لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِعَهُ, it was not going to miss you at all. It's gone. It was supposed to come to you, so it came to you. So therefore, when we understand this, we can well understand that how insignificant our if and but and how and why and when is. When we say, well, if this was the case, then that would have been so. And had I not been there, then this would not have been the case. You know, when the Sahabas were going out to defend Islam in the battlefields, the other people and the hypocrites were saying, if they were home, they would not have passed away and died. Allah revealed the Quran, once death has been written to you, it will come and meet you on your beds. You are sleeping and you will go. So whatever meets a person, it was going to meet him. It was not going to pass him straight. And whatever missed the person, know very well that it did not occur by chance. It did not occur by luck. It did not occur by coincidence. It did not occur because of the fact that you put certain things in place. Listen well, it was not going to meet you anyway. It was not going to meet you. So therefore, the bragging and the boasting that normally comes up when a man thinks to himself that he had escaped something that was very, very, let's say, it was going to be very harsh upon him. And he says, well, it's a good thing I have done this, and I want to thank all these people because they helped me escape it. Well, give thanks and praises to Allah. It was not going to touch you anyway, my dear respected brother. And that is part of what we believe in. Ah, Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, whatever comes and touches a man, it is with Allah's permission. And Allah goes even further than that to say, وَمَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَمْرَأَهَا. Whatever touches a person on the face of the earth or touches a person within his own self, these things have already been recorded in a book before it came into existence. Subhanallah. مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَمْرَأَهَا, before it actually came into existence. Before it came into existence, it was already recorded. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And this is very easy for Allah. So therefore, we have to learn by this teaching that whatever touches and meets us, it was going to touch us, my dear respected Muslims. And whatever did not touch us, well, it wasn't going to touch us anyway. It is Allah's decree and Allah's, you know, will, Allah's qadr. So, فَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ, it is therefore upon us as servants of Allah. It is upon us. How should we behave again after touching these very, very important points? You know, the point of qadr is a very, very important thing that people are misguided by it. Sometimes people remain firm. And Imam Tahawi has mentioned about our approach to the aspect of ilmul qadr. So he says, وَعَلَى الْعَبْدِ, it is therefore necessary upon a servant أن يعلم, that he should know, أن الله قد سبق علمه في كل كائن من خلقه, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge had already advanced in every single thing that was going to happen in his creation. What does it mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew exactly from eternity what is going to happen in his entire creation. That knowledge was already there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had knowledge of every single particle, every single action of every single one of the makhluk from eternity. وَقَدَّرَ ذَلِكَ, and therefore he has fixed a decree. وَقَدَّرَ ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرًا مُحْكَمًا مُبْرَمًا, he has fixed for these things a fixed decree which is muhkam, which is accurate and perfect, and which is mubram, which means it is inescapable, it is well established, and it is irrevocable. Subhanallah. Imam Tahawi uses these words to stress upon us the nature of this thing that is called taqdeer and qadr. Qadr and qada. He says, and based upon Allah's complete knowledge, He had fixed the decree, and the decree is muhkam, it is well established, it is accurate, it is perfect, it is mubram, inescapable, irrevocable. No one can escape qadr, and no one can revoke qadr. So he explains, فَلَيْسَ فِيهِ نَاقِذٌ وَلَا مُعَقِّبٌ وَلَا مُزِيلٌ وَلَا مُغَيِّرٌ وَلَا نَاقِصٌ وَلَا زَائِدٌ وَلَا زَائِدٌ مِّنْ خَلْقِهِ فِي سَمَاوَاتِهِ وَالْأَرْضِهِ. Therefore, there is no contradiction in Allah's Qadr. There is no adding in Allah's Qadr. There is no erasing in Allah's Qadr. There is no changes in Allah's Qadr. There is no decrease in Allah's Qadr. And there is no increase in the makhluk of Allah, in His heavens and in His earth. No, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. It is fixed. If a man gets sick today and he uses a tablet or he uses medication and he gets better, it was in the decree of Allah that this man will become sick, he will use medication and he will become better. His action falls in accordance to the qadr. If the man becomes sick, he does not use medication and he remains sick, or his sickness worsens, then it is also written in taqdeer that this man will become sick, and if he does not use medication, he will become sick. So how can we escape the qadr of Allah? Whichever direction we go in, there is where the qadr of Allah is. There is where the hukum, the decree of Allah is. So he says there is no escape. And this belief, وَذَلِكَ مِنْ أَقْدِ الْإِيمَانِ, and this is from the fundamental of iman. وأصول المعرفة, and this is from the foundation of the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is from that. And والاعتراف بالتوحيد الله وربوبيته, and it is also part, it's foundation of us accepting and acknowledging that Allah is one and He is our Lord. That is very, very, very important to know. So therefore, some of these things we have to keep on remembering, because it is when we understand these things firmly, it can then correct our actions, our thoughts, our statements, our beliefs, and how we view life in general. How we view the incidents and occurrences that come up and confront us in our life. How we view these things is based on what aqidah and belief we have. So we will close there for today, and inshallah, next week we will continue in completing this beautiful passage that is recorded by Imam Tahawi, that connects to the belief and the concept of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the things that are decreed, the things that come up in front of us. Wa la akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.